KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Speaking of fantastic, it is now time for Coastal Currents. I want to say a big, giant thanks to the sponsors of Coastal Currents. That would be Coquitat. Thank you, Coquitat. Thank you as well to Bayside Garden Supply. Thank you to Solutions on the Plaza. And a big, giant thanks to Dirty Business Soil Consulting. And also, speaking of fantastic, joining us by telephone is the host of Coastal Currents, Jen Savage. Hello, Jen.
Hello, this is Jen Savage.
Is this the host of Coastal Currents, Jen Savage?
Yes, we're co-hosts.
You know who else is on the line?
I bet her name starts with a J.
It's the fabulous Jen Colt.
Yes.
Hello, are both Jens here?
I'm here.
And once again, the show has started seamlessly without even the slightest hint of disaster.
You are setting the bar higher every week, right?
I've been doing this for a long time. Every week when Mike did it, I thought, well, that was good, but I could do better.
And finally.
I'm proving it. Anyway, we're going to start Coastal Currents now. What is our topic this week?
Well, the topic this week is the open house that's coming up that PG&E is putting on regarding the decommissioning of the Humboldt Bay Power Plant, which folks might remember was at one time an operating nuclear power plant.
Surely that's been fully decommissioned. It's been years.
Well, the person who has the most information about that, on his phone call at least, is Jen Colt from Humboldt Baykeeper. So I was hoping Jen could get us up to speed on what is happening out there.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the show. I am not the person with the most information about this. Those people have been watchdogging this nuclear power plant since it was actually still an operating nuclear power plant, specifically Michael Welch of Redwood Alliance. But he has filled me in quite a bit, as has Mike Manitas. They are longtime members of the PG&E Community Advisory Board, and then I just joined that Community Advisory Board a couple years ago. So the decommissioning is not done. It wasn't started until just a few years ago. So basically, it was the first commercially licensed nuclear power plant in the United States, right here in King Salmon. And it was built in 1963, was shut down in 1976, and basically sat there for a long, long time, cooling down, really, is what I think was going on. But so they're in the final stages of the decommissioning now, and the open house on Wednesday at the Werfinger Building from 4:30 to 6:30 is to give people information about the decommissioning, what kind of progress they've made on that, and then they're also going to talk about what's called the final site restoration plan, which is an ongoing plan that is basically going to determine how they leave the site once they get their license from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission terminated, license termination. So all we'll be left with is all the high-level radioactive waste that was ever made on that site.
And it's all stored.
Yeah. It's all stored in underground casks. And there's a picture of that facility on the Humboldt Baykeeper Facebook page if you want to see what it looks like. It's up on top of the hill there above King Salmon.
I have a question, and this is, well, anyway, if I imagine in my mind what decommissioning a nuclear power plant is, the thing that I think of is getting rid of the radioactive waste, the spent fuel rods. And so my understanding is that's going to happen a little bit. There are some that aren't fully, you know, there are different stages of radioactive components, and some will be moved off site. But the most highly enriched ones, no one's going to take, and they're going to stay on site. So what is involved in the decommissioning if it's not removing the most radioactive elements?
Well, you're right, Larry. The lower level radioactive contamination and other contamination as well was removed and shipped to various hazardous waste landfills around the country, mostly, I believe, in Texas, Utah, and Idaho. The reactor here at the Humboldt Bay Power Plant was unusual in that it was mostly underground. And so it extended about, I think, 65 feet below the surface of the ground. So PG&E is working on excavating a rather large hole to get rid of all the contaminated soil that could be, having interactions with Humboldt Bay through groundwater and such. So, but you're right, the high-level radioactive waste, all the spent fuel rods, and also the reactor vessel itself was cut up and put into these underground casts, and that's because since the 1960s, when nuclear power was first developed in this country, the federal government has been promising to develop a storage site like the Yucca Mountain site that would be a repository for all the high-level waste in the whole country, but that's never happened. So, presumably, I would guess if I had to bet that it's never going to happen and that we're going to be stuck with all those spent fuel rods for eternity.
Do you know, and this may be outside your area of expertise, but obviously there are other countries that have nuclear power plants. Russia springs to mind, as does France and other places as well. How do they deal with this, with the nuclear waste?
That's a good question. I've heard little bits and pieces. In France, I believe they continue to reprocess and reuse the spent fuel, and then they I think that they basically store it inside glass somehow, and I'm not entirely sure, but I have heard some horrendous stories about the former Soviet Union, where they basically dump it in the ocean. That's probably not true across all of Russia, but, they had nuclear submarines that when they were used up and they had nuclear reactors that generated electricity for the nuclear submarines, they just sank them off the coast somewhere.
Jeez.
So it varies. Okay. People have thrown around all kinds of ideas for decades now, like blasting it off into the sun or all kinds of ideas. But none of those ideas have really come to pass in this country. So we're stuck with that fuel here up on the hill at King Salmon. And PG&E will continue to have a license to store the spent fuel in that facility underground.
Well, based on what you know and what you've read and the people that you've talked to, and again, recognizing that you're not a nuclear engineer, how confident do you feel that they've figured out a way to contain it and store it safely?
I would say that it's probably somewhat safe for the next 50 years or so. Beyond that, it's hard to know. We know that sea level is rising, and we know that tsunamis and major earthquakes are a big hazard here. My understanding is that the Fukushima disaster, what happened at a nuclear power plant that had an above-ground storage and an underground storage for spent fuel, and that the underground storage facility made it through that tsunami without breaking open, and so it's definitely much safer below ground than it is above ground.
So the danger is not that it's going to somehow leach into the ground and get out of its containment vessel, but that it might someday wash into the sea.
Well, I think really either one is a danger. When you read reports and studies about these facilities, people try to think of how can they put signs on them that are going to, warn somebody, let's say, in 5,000 years, that's what that is.
Right.
The planning process for humans tends to be on the 10 to 20-year scale, but when you're talking about material that's going to be, possibly dangerous for many, many years, centuries, they say that it's actually fairly cooled off now because they left it sitting there for, 30 years before they started decommissioning. But as you say, I'm not a nuclear engineer. But But the people who will be at this open house on Wednesday at the Werfinger have a lot of information, and they're very interested in answering people's questions. And so I highly encourage people to come to that open house to learn more about the decommissioning and the spent fuel rod storage facility that's on site there, and then also the restoration plan. So, you know, King Salmon, it's the PG&E power plant is up on a bluff above King Salmon overlooking the ocean, and there's a new natural gas burning power plant that PG&E built in recent years. So that's going to still be functioning, obviously, but then the site where the nuclear power plant was is being restored, and quite a bit of it is being considered, you know, to be restored to wetlands or other native plant communities. And then some of it's being proposed to be paved to, you know, be able to drive trucks to get those storage casks to bring them to the someday Yucca Mountain if and when that ever happens. And so there will be a coastal trail that goes through the property as well. And so I strongly encourage people to go and see what the plans are, because the site restoration plan is what is currently under review. So we have some opportunity to comment on that, and that's going to be really important.
So they are seeking public input. They're not. It's not just informational.
Right. The final site restoration plan is currently before the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District, which is the lead agency for the environmental review. And then, so they will have a hearing coming up. I'm not sure when. They haven't announced it yet, to adopt the environmental documents for that restoration plan. And then it will be reviewed by the California Coastal Commission as well, since it's in the coastal zone. So people should go and ask good questions, and you know, I am certainly going to go and ask a lot of questions, and I've been studying the restoration plan for months, and I have a stellar volunteer who's been doing a lot of research to look at all the past permits that have been given and making sure that it's complying with all the past coastal development permits, which is,
so,
you know, it's a lot of information, but the big picture is really quite fascinating. You know, that a lot of people don't even realize we have the first nuclear power plant in the United States right here in Humboldt Bay.
Yeah, I didn't know that till you told me, actually, a while back. But if people want to get a little bit more up to speed, if they're not familiar with the history of the power plant and they want to have some kind of background so they can better formulate questions when they go in, is there a particular place that they could look that you would recommend, Jen?
Well, the Humboldt Bay Harbor District's website has the draft environmental document posted on the site restoration plan. I will post some things on the Baykeeper website as well, because some of those documents are not that easy to find. There's actually a big coffee table book that some of the local bookstores have that PG&E put together that has fascinating history and photographs of the nuclear power plant when it was built. And it's like a history of electricity production in the Humboldt Bay area since the 19th century. So it's called something like From Sawdust to Uranium. And it is truly fascinating. So I see it in Eureka Books and some of the other local bookstores.
Have to look for that. I did not know that was a thing. So,
hey, I have a sort of a broad question, which is always a mistake. You should never ask broad questions. And it's also a little bit off topic, but since both of you are concerned with matters of this nature, one thing that I always... The dilemma that I encounter when I think about nuclear power in a environmentalism context is that the actual operation of nuclear power plants is pretty environmentally friendly. The environmental danger, of course, comes from the potential for accidents, which is enormous. And so I suppose you could make the argument that we should avoid nuclear power because the potential downside is just too significant, and we can't take that chance. But if, as an environmentalist, there are some environmental advantages to nuclear power as long as we are able to deal with the danger and the byproducts. So I was wondering what you folks think about that.
Well, my feeling is that, since the 1960s, we've been saying it could be really safe if we could solve these problems, and we still have not solved the problem, the ultimate problem of what to do with the waste. Generally speaking, the most power plants, nuclear power plants, are along water bodies, the ocean or rivers or Humboldt Bay, because they use a ton of water to keep them cool. And so there is a lot of inherent danger in that, especially where you have earthquakes and tsunami risks. It's a pretty big if in my mind. Solar and wind power doesn't even compare to the risk to human life and the environment of nuclear power.
Okay.
That's what she said.
All right, you'll second that.
Yes, I second those beliefs.
All right, and again, the PG&E open house is going to take place 1 week from today, Wednesday, August 19th, and it's going to be at the Wharfinger Building from 4:30 to 6:30. Is there anything else we should cover?
PG&E website. PG&E's website has a page on the Humboldt Bay Power Plant for people to go get more information there. That would be a good place. Just Google Humboldt Bay Power Plant and you will find it.
All right.
Excellent.
Jen, any final remarks?
There's just so many things happening because it's the end of summer and HSU is getting back in session. But I wanted to just remind people, save the date. Thursday, September 3rd is going to be our next Ocean Night. We just showed Pelican Dreams at our last one, and it was a fairly packed house, which was exciting and fun. And so it's good to schedule those ahead. Thursday, September 3rd, Ocean Night. And then, of course, Coastal Cleanup Day is only four and a half weeks away. So if you have not signed up your coastal cleanup team yet, then that's something that you want to do because we have a lot of sites, a lot of beaches and riverbanks and all that people like to clean up. But there's still some that need volunteers, but a lot of them are spoken for. So anybody who wants to volunteer for Coastal Cleanup Day can go to yournec.org and get more information on that. There's also a post at Lost Coast Outpost about Coastal Cleanup Day with a really fun video that will totally inspire people to get more involved if they haven't seen it yet. And I just wanted to make sure to give a big push for that because even though it's a month away, we're doing sign-ups now and we've already got tons of people signed up, but we still need more and don't want anyone to miss out on that.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you both. I really appreciate your time and thanks for being part of Coastal Currents.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for handling all the challenges of engineering as we are in far-flung remote places.
Well, it's my pleasure to handle them so seamlessly and unawkwardly, so I'm happy to do that.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, there it is. Coastal Currents for this, the 12th day of August.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.